Could we turn to Luke 4, to verse 14? I'm reading from verse 4, verse 14 to 22. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And God always blesses his inspired and infallible word.
Today I want to speak to you about something that has been on my heart for a while. And I really thank God for what Pastor Malcolm has been teaching us lately about the kingdom, about the rule and the reign of God. What a wonderful teaching. Amen. But we have to apply these things, don't we? It's not just hearing these wonderful sermons, but we've got to apply it. Amen. The kingdom of God has to be advanced in this nation. Amen? Come on, church. The kingdom of God. Amen? Justice, righteousness, peace, joy, healing, breakthroughs, preaching of the gospel, salvation. The kingdom of God must be advanced in the name of Jesus. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. We've got to believe God for some incredible things. I don't know what you're believing God for, but I'm believing God for great things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on. Not just personal things, but breakthroughs in our city. Amen. Breakthroughs. We're believing God to plant many churches in this city over the next 5 years. An expression of Jesus Christ in every borough in London. Why not? And if not? Amen. And one of the things that I believe God is going to use to do this is the way we communicate. And therefore, my message this morning is kingdom speech. Kingdom speech. Do you know how to talk and when to talk? Do you know what to say and how to say it? It's not just talking, but there's a kingdom speech. Amen. There's a way that you articulate truth. There's a way that you declare truth. There's a way that you speak truth over your life. There's a way that you speak truth into situations. And we've got to know how, so that we can see progress in our lives in the name of Jesus. I like what the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the law and the prophets were unto John. Okay? The law and the prophets, they were unto John. Since that time until now, since that time, the kingdom has been preached. Amen? People have been proclaiming and declaring the truth about Jesus. People have been proclaiming. People have been announcing this good news. Amen? We know that when Jesus came, he inaugurated his own kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the Bible said that that kingdom is at hand. That kingdom is available. That kingdom is with us. That kingdom is within you. And we've got to do something about it in the name of Jesus. We've got to do something with this kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. All our family members, our colleagues, even our enemies must be saved in the name of Jesus. Come on, people of God. London must be saved. London must be saved. London. And I thank God for what God is doing. The London is not the London that I came back to in the 80s. Thank God for what God is doing all over the place. We really thank God. The advancement of the gospel. There are churches everywhere. Hallelujah. People are boldly, I don't know whether you've seen people, people are boldly proclaiming Jesus on the train nowadays. Things that you could not do years ago. Thank God. The kingdom of God is advancing. But more needs to be done. And that's why I want to share with you how you can communicate, how you can be a speaker of the kingdom of God, how you can advance the kingdom by your speech, just by talking alone, by expressing the truth of God, and how you can advance the kingdom. I like what the Bible says. The Bible says in that same 16, that verse 16, it says, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Now, my question is, are you pressing in? Are you pressing into the kingdom? Are you advancing the kingdom of God? Amen. Are you a mover and a shaker? Or you're just there? Amen. Are you a mover and a shaker? Are you advancing the kingdom of God? Even in your own life. Let's even talk about your own life today. Are you advancing the kingdom in your own life? Or you're just there? Are you taking rubbish that the enemy throws at you? Are you accepting the words that anybody just says over your life? Amen? Or you're advancing the truth of the word of God regarding your life? Amen. I was sharing this morning, and this is a couple of years ago, of a young lady that with a pram came into a bus. And there was an old lady sitting down there, and the old lady looked at this young baby, and jokingly she said, "You little devil," talking about the baby. Oh yeah. Say, "You little devil." And this young girl, of course, probably not a believer. I should have probably done better then, but okay. And she just said, in it. Probably she had a sleepless night. I don't know. Probably the baby was crying. Or I don't know. I don't know what that baby had done to her. Probably she, you know, probably the baby was, kept her awake all night. But she was laughing. I'm thinking, if only you know. So, you know, I take it upon my, whenever you are a young man, because I know that is probably about 15 years ago now, and that I think was a boy. Whatever you are, boy, I pray that the hand of God will come upon you and you will not be a devil in the name of Jesus. Amen. But do you see speeches and pronouncements? Do you understand? Amen. If you don't speak, somebody will speak for you. You know, we have a saying for where I come from. They say, if you can't fight, if you don't have legs, if you don't have legs to run, and you don't have mouth, then you're in trouble. Amen? You can't fight. Okay? You can't defend yourself. And when there's a fight, you can't run away from the fight. And then you don't have a mouth to speak, then you're in trouble. We must learn how to speak. Amen? We must learn how to speak truth in the name of Jesus. Amen? We must learn how to declare the truth of God regarding our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you are not pressing in, what are you doing? Because really, 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 these are the days to press in. And to press in by what you say. Press in by your speech. Amen. So what is kingdom speech? It is the way believers speak truth. Okay? It's a speech pertaining to the kingdom of God for the advancement of the kingdom. Your speech. Amen? It's not just your thinking, but it's a transmission of thoughts. And it's a word, of course, is fueled by the Spirit of God. It's a word that explains what you want. Amen. Can you explain what you want? I'm not just talking about praying here. but the ability to be able to explain what you want. Because if you don't explain what you want, other people will explain it for you. To be able to communicate what God is saying about your life. Amen? You know, kingdom speech is a speech that partners with God's intention. You speak the intention of God over your life. We all have challenges and situations in our lives. There's things that are thrown at us all the time. And if we don't know how to speak, the devil can easily get us. And that's not your portion in Jesus' name. God has put authority in your mouth. Amen? And some of the heroes of the Old Testament, they understood this. This is not just prayer. Psalm 23 is not just a prayer. It's not just a prayer. It's not just David's prayer. And I know we pray nowadays. It's not just a prayer. Amen. It's a declaration of truth. Amen. It's a statement of belief. Psalm 23 verse 1. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not praying. He's declaring that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He was going through the darkest days of his life. Being pursued by men in authority. It's just like, I mean, what chance do you have if Prince Charles starts chasing you about? Come on. With all these connections. Saul and all his men were chasing David. The Philistines, the moment they anointed him king, amen. The moment he was recognized in the realm of the spirit, then there was a chasing about. Amen. He was in the stronghold when he made that statement. But he made a bold statement. He made a bold declaration. A speech of truth. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. These are not prayers. He said, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because I know you're with me. Amen. Those are truths and statements, divine statements. Those are speeches. And that's how we are called to speak in the kingdom of God. Amen. That's the way God wants you to speak regarding his kingdom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, that young guy had no chance. As a baby, could not even defend himself. When somebody walks into a bus and the next thing they say, you little. I mean, the woman could have done anything. She could have opened her purse, gave him 10 pounds, say, I bless you. You know, but you understand, nobody does that. Nobody, you know, why is it always evil? The woman could have said, you know, give me your bank account. I'll transfer some money. You understand? Could have done something nice. Could have done something nice. Oh, I mean, do you know it's difficult to do nice things sometimes to a stranger? I remember in a restaurant one day, and God told me to pay for this man. God said, "I want you to pay for this man's food because I want to show him that I love him." So as this man was about to pay, and I took up my card, said, "You know, can I?" And the man fought me. Oh my God! Of course, I can tell you, he's not a Nigerian. Yes. Thank you, my son. May the Lord bless you and prosper you and increase you. They know how to be blessed. The man began to fight me. Who do you think you are? Do you think I've got no money? I said, no, sir. It's not about whether you've got money or not. I mean, I'm being serious. The man was fighting me just to be a blessing. It's my money that I'm parting with. And he was fighting me. I mean, he felt, you know, you're embarrassing me. You know, it's like I'm embarrassing me in front of the cashier. And all I wanted to do is just be a blessing because God told me so. All I wanted to do is just be a blessing. And he fought me. And I'm thinking, my God, Lord, why did you send me to this kind of person? I just wanted to be a blessing. Amen. So when I mentioned that God told me to, Okay, then he calmed down a bit. And grumpily, he went back to the man paid for her. The man paid for her food. Thank God for ladies. The man was so, oh, thank you. But the man was grumpy. Say, like he's insulted me. I'm not insulting you. Amen. God just wants to show kindness. Amen. I wish that woman did the same. But you know, evil. Calling the little boy, you devil, little devil. You little cheeky devil. You cheeky, little devil. And the response of the woman was, in it. That's the speech. In it. I said, in it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God I was saved. Hallelujah. Come on, people of God. You see, kingdom speech is using God's words to bring the culture of God into our space, into the realm of difficulties, into the realm of bad health, into the realm of poverty, sicknesses. Is bringing the word of God, hallelujah, is making those speeches that bring the word of God. We have so many of them in the Bible. Another one is Jabez. Amen. You know the story of Jabez? That's an unusual story. Because all they were doing is just, it's chronicles. Just telling us, this one beget this one, this one beget this one, this one beget this one, this one. First Chronicles chapter 4. This one begat. And then when it gets to verse 8 says, Jabez was an honorable man. Amen. He was better than his brothers. Amen. He was better. All that betterness brought him nothing. Amen. He was better than his brother. Bible says he was more honorable than his brothers. But he was still poor. Amen. He was still poor. He was still in pain until he did something. Until he used that which God had given him. His mouth. Amen? Use your mouth to advance your own life. Amen? Use your own mouth to speak the kingdom of God. Use your own mouth. I mean, you've got to learn in the name of Jesus to make those speeches that will bring a breakthrough to your life. Amen? I'm not just talking about prayer here because this is not in the name of Jesus. These are not just in the name of Jesus. These are speeches. Amen? You understand this all in the name of Jesus. Would you not? These are not. David is not making speech. Remember, David, he said, surely. I mean, come on. You know, surely is a conclusion of every matter. Amen. After everything he said, you know, through the valley of the shadow of death, he talks about him being, you know, eating and feasting while the enemy is looking. Amen. So that means when he leaves there, the enemy is going to start chasing him. Say, God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. What are you doing, the enemy? Waiting. But then in verse 6, he makes a big statement. He announced to the whole world. Amen. Because that word, surely, it concludes every matter. Amen. Everything else that is negative is dismissed. Amen. You can use that surely to dismiss your enemies and say bye-bye to poverty. Amen. And say bye-bye to sickness. And say bye-bye to mountains. And say bye-bye to problems. And say bye-bye to unemployment. You can use that surely to do so many things. Say surely. Amen. Say surely. Come on, people of God. Say that surely. Say an assurance of truth and belief. Say an assurance of a conviction that he's carrying. Amen. He says surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I like that word follow because follow is not just follow. Follow is when something is chasing after you. You go and hide here. That thing will come looking for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When something is passionately, with intention, following you. David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not just for 1 year. Not just for 2 years. Not for 3 years or 4 years. Not for 10 years. But say, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. Hallelujah. You're settled, child of God. You're settled. When a man has that kind of conviction and makes that kind of announcement, that kind of speech, that goodness and mercy shall follow me passionately. Amen. Hallelujah. You can, as far as I'm concerned, you can hide in my donuts. He will come find you there. It's an assurance. Same with Jabez. Hallelujah. He had to address the situation in his own life. He made a speech to God. What kind of speech are you making to your father today? It's not just prayer. It's not prayer. Oh, Father, will you bless me? It's not prayer. Amen. Jabez said, oh, God, will you bless me? He cried out. The speech. A speech is when you're addressing either a single person audience, and a speech has intentions. You understand? A speech has intentions. Amen? A speech has a targeted audience. His speech was targeting God. He knows exactly who he's crying to. Oh, God, will you bless me indeed? Amen. I mean, you know what was going on here? Distribution of land. They would say, hey, you pain? Who wants to be a neighbor of pain? When the guy next door is pain, come on, you will go to the land registry and say, remove him. You will evict him because he's going to cause pain. So what he said, enlarge my borders. Make room for me. Come on, people of God. Enlarge my territory. Amen. Amen. That if I move here or there, nobody will bother me. And I will bother nobody. You know why? Because there's enough room. There's enough room. Amen. That was his speech to God. And there's more there. And then the Bible says, when you make this kind of speech, or those kind of speeches, the Bible says, and God granted him his request. Amen. There are some grantings that need to be made from heaven for our lives. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's now look at the New Testament and the inauguration of the kingdom of God, where God says the kingdom of God is here. Now use it to advance my kingdom. Use it. Press in through your confession. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible speaks about Jesus. Amen. He found the place where it was written. The Bible says he opened the scroll. And what was he doing here? Could you imagine? Jesus was bringing down that which was spoken 800 years, was bringing it down by speaking it, by addressing an audience. He was speaking truth. Isaiah prophesied. What you read in Luke 4 was prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 61, 800 years after. Now Jesus is bringing it down, advancing the kingdom. Amen. He's not just talking. Amen. But he's advancing the kingdom. He said, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. It's upon me. Look at me, guys. Can you see the kingdom of God is here now? Can you see me? Is what Jesus was saying. Don't look at Isaiah. Look at me. Hallelujah. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me. If only you guys can understand the good things that will come out of my mouth, the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, which most of them were. Hallelujah. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Many of them were broken. Broken. That should be one of the greatest revival meetings. The first revival meeting. But they're just looking. And Jesus was announcing the kingdom. Amen. And advancing the kingdom. Hallelujah. He said everything. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. And they did everything that tradition says that they would do. Nobody had the sense to press in. I said, Jesus, wow, thank you. Touch me, heal me. have locked the door and said, Jesus, just lay your apostolic hands upon me. I will have no problems in my life anymore. But they didn't. They didn't. They didn't. They were expecting more. They were expecting more. The Bible says, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And then the Bible says, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. He's like, okay, okay. You know what that means? He's like, okay, okay, you've read it. Now give us a speech. Give us a speech. That's what we're expecting. That's what usually happens. Amen. Put a spin to it. Because what happens is that somebody, a rabbi, will bring their own interpretation of what they've just read. So they're expecting Jesus to bring, don't give me, I don't want Bible studies. Amen. I don't want no Bible study. I want breakthroughs. Is anybody here today? Don't tell me of what Jesus did 10,000 years ago. I want to see it now. Amen. Oh, come on. I'm in church today. Come on. Thank God for what we're doing in this church. Because it's about advancement of the kingdom. Miracles, signs, wonders, breakthroughs. Come on, people of God. That's the kingdom of God. Joy, peace, righteousness. All these things in the Holy Ghost. Amen. They were looking at him. Everybody. They all woke up and said, okay, what's he going to say now? What's he going to say now? What's he going to say? The truth is, what are you going to say? The kingdom of God is here. What are you going to say? Amen? What are you going to say? The eyes of all were fixed upon him. And then the Bible says, then he began to address them again. Gave them another opportunity. He said, this word is now fulfilled. Done. Fulfilled. You see, that word fulfilled means nothing else needs to be done. It's there. It means this word is living and is alive. This word is alive right now. Amen. You touch it, you touch fire. You understand? It's like a burning coal. You touch it, you will burn. Jesus said, this word is alive. You accept this, things will change. The word is alive. It's living. Jesus said, this word is present right now, not with Isaiah. This word is present with me. It's here. I'm the fulfillment of this word. I brought it to you. Come on. I brought it to you. It's right in your midst. The word is here now. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, this word has been fulfilled in your hearing. But what did they do? This is what they said. He speaks gracious words. Oh, Lord. They said he speaks gracious words. He speaks, oh, look at the nice word he has just. Oh, look at him. A good sermon. I don't want no good sermon. Amen. I want things that will change this world and change my life and change the people around me and change London and change my family. That's what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. Come on, people of God. Come on, people of God. What are you saying today? What are you saying? What are you saying? People will say things. It's a true story. About 2-3 weeks ago, I got a phone call, middle of the night, 1 a.m. And you know, I wondered, who's calling me? 1 a.m., who's calling me? So I rejected the call 3 times, and the person kept on calling me back. And you know what it is? Some of us, when you have grown-up kids, when you have family, and you probably don't know who this number is, so you pick, especially when somebody's insisting with that call. So I picked up the phone. And there's a lady behind this phone. And the first thing she said to me, is that Taya Awiera? I said, yeah, Taya Awiera. He said, we're about to deliver pork to your house at 4 a.m. Are you there? I said, what? enemy. Who delivers pork that you've not ordered? And now, somebody help me. Does Amazon deliver at 4 a.m.? deliver 4 a.m.? And I just knew this is the enemy. This is the enemy. The enemy was looking for an access into my life. The enemy thought I was sleeping. And if I just said, yes, deliver, I don't know what they would have delivered to me. I said, oh, you devil! You enemy! I'm awake! How dare you? By the time I made my speech, she dropped the phone. But seriously, the enemy. I had to make a speech. You gotta learn how to speak. And I had to pray, because could you imagine, you know, myself and my wife were away, and my daughter was the only one at home. You know some of these, they take orders. You know, some of you got grown-up kids, they take orders. I mean, McDonald's, Kentucky, they all knock on your door any time of the day, you know? And I'm thinking, I'm just praying, because number one, how do you call your daughter at 1 a.m. and say, number one, they won't pick. I mean, you know that. They don't pick. And number two, I just pray that nobody will go and bang on my door. I kept on praying and began to announce. I began to announce to the kingdom of darkness that you don't even know who you're messing about with. My name is Taya Oyera. I'm a child of God. You don't mess about with me. I began to make a speech. Amen. Amen. Because I don't know what this was. I mean, I've got prophets who said that's the enemy trying, you know, why pork? I mean, why? If you say you want to deliver £1 million, I promise, okay. come on. I probably say just leave it at the doorstep and I'll be there first thing in the morning. I don't know. But come on. What do I want to do with? Come on, punk. You understand what I'm saying? But the enemy. What am I trying to teach you this morning? Your speech is important. Amen. You've got to learn how to address things in Jesus' name. Creation began with God addressing the chaos. In the beginning, the Bible said everything was chaotic, the Spirit of God, and then, you see, this is not prayer. God did not pray. God made a speech. God did not pray. He did not pray. God said, let there be light. That's a speech. What are you saying about your own life? There's another one. Mark chapter 10. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 10. Is there a powerful speech from this blind man? The Bible says that they came to Jericho. Jesus came to Jericho. And this time he left Jericho with multitudes of people. And this man has been a beggar all his life. Your victory is in your speech. Your breakthrough is in your speech. Is knowing how to address even Jesus can be a breakthrough in your life. This man's been a beggar. Amen? Been a beggar. Do you know, even in the Jewish culture, it's the lowest form of income. It's an income. Begging is an income. Because you have to have a garment. It's an income. But it's not an income that you and I will want. Amen? It's an income based on his disability. So this guy too, he wants to live, people of God. He wants to, you understand? He wants to, I mean, if you know, give him a chance. He doesn't want to be blind. Amen? But he never had the opportunity. He never had the opportunity. Now the opportunity came. Hallelujah. And I'm sure he has prepared this speech for years, that one day, I will talk myself out of this blindness. I will make a speech that will restore my sight. Amen. And nobody's going to stop me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he heard that it was Jesus he heard as they were going out, Jesus was on his way. He's on his way, going out of the town. And you know that people will not make speeches for you. So you got to learn how to make it. Someone could have made a speech that, Jesus, come. This man is blind. Can you heal him? People are not like that. They could have said, Jesus, can you heal this man? Can you heal this man? But they were leaving town. And the Bible says that this man, he began to cry out, saying, amen. And what you see is the intensity of his speech. Amen. His speech had passion. Amen. It wasn't just a mumbo jumbo, you know. It wasn't just, no. It was audible. So the cry there is the volume and the passion. These are not just tears, but it's the volume and the intention and the passion and the desperation of this man's heart that he doesn't even know where Jesus is, there or everywhere. He doesn't know. So the first thing he did say, look, there's something I've got. I might not have eyes, but one thing I've got is my speech. At least I can speak. And therefore, what I say, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Children of God, that is a speech. It's not a prayer. He's not praying. The speech. Hallelujah. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. There are many. People in life. Thank God, if this was Katy, people would just say, oh, Jesus. Oh, we'll probably call Jesus and say, look. We'll probably make a speech on his behalf. I'm telling you, we're so nice people. We'll make a speech on his behalf. Say, Jesus, hit him. The Bible said, many too made a speech on his behalf. And the speech was, can you keep quiet? That's a speech. The Bible said many warned him. Come on, life. The man is blind. And Jesus is the healer. He's announced it in Luke chapter 4. Open the eyes of the blind. He can. Whether it's a spiritual blindness, physical blindness, Jesus can do it. Amen. Amen. When do we stop believing? Amen. And when do we start advancing the kingdom of God, even if it's not our own situation? The Bible said they told him to be quiet. But you see, this man, you don't know how many years this man has prepared this speech. Amen. He had prepared this speech for years. Then the Bible says, hallelujah, that he cried out all the more. So this speech ain't going to go for waste. If you have no clue how long I prepared this speech for. He cried out, I thought you were for me. I didn't know you were against me. Amen. So I said, he cried out all the more. And this was his speech, intentional. Amen. With truth. That's a speech, intentional, with truth and authority. Amen. Inspired by faith. Amen. Filled by the Spirit. It's not a kind of speech. Filled with everything to do with God. Filled with revelation. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says, come on. There's a speech that stops everything that heaven is doing and attends to you. It's there. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Jesus stood still. Amen. Amen. We have something that we eat in Nigeria. It's called stockfish. It's very hard. You have to soak it for 10 years before you eat it. Banla, you have to soak it. Amen. Before you can chew it. Amen. It's still. Amen. The Bible said that Jesus stood still. You understand? Stood still. Well, somebody's speech has grabbed me. What's your speech doing to heaven? What's your speech doing to heaven? Is heaven just continuing what he's doing, or is heaven steady? Ho, ho, ho. Somebody has grabbed me. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is that those who are following you, they're just going, they're just passing by me while Jesus stood still. He stood still because somebody's speech, your speech will make it. Yeah. If somebody here this morning, your speech will make it. Yeah. These are speeches that are filled with the power of God. They carry authority. They carry revelation. They carry knowledge. And they carry wisdom. Amen. When you present your speech before the living God, that even God knows what you're talking about. Jesus knew that this man needed something. The Bible says, Jesus stood still. And he said, call him. I like this kind of guy. He knew that this speech would bring a breakthrough. The first thing he threw away his garment, this identity of mine. Amen. You just throw it away. Don't even talk to it. That identity has been a blessing to his life for many years. The guy did not even make a speech to say thank you. He threw it away. Amen. Throwing away his garment. Hallelujah. He went to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Jesus too will make a speech. And you got to know how to respond. These are not prayers, by the way. Jesus is not praying for him. Jesus made a speech. He said, what do you want me to do for you? It's a speech. Because you never know. You might just say, it's my leg. I've been sitting down for too long here. Everything here is paining me. You never know. So Jesus said, okay, you've asked me to have mercy, but you're not clear in your speech because you didn't tell me to heal you. You just said mercy. But, you know, I carry so many things in my life. I'm the God that heals. I'm the God that saves. I'm the God that provides. I'm the God that blesses. Hallelujah. I'm the God that raises. I'm the God that releases. Amen. Amen. I'm the God of everything. What exactly do you want from me? Amen. I'm the all-sufficient Christ. In me is the power to live. He said, what exactly? See, that's why you need to prepare your speech. You need to know what to say. He could have said anything. He could have said, is this garment? It's blue. I want it to be black. Oh, I don't like the garment. I told them to wash it. They've never washed it. You don't know what people might say. So Jesus had to make a speech so he too can respond with a speech. So he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabboni. That's a good speech. Amen. Amen. You know, that's a speech that observes. You know, good speeches, they observe protocol. Oh, yeah. Come on, people of God. It's a speech that observed the protocol of the day. He didn't just go in there and say, you know. No. He observed the protocol. Oh, that guy, my God, he knows exactly what he wants. He observed the protocol and he said, Rabboni, hallelujah, that I may receive my sight. You see, there's some things, there's no prayer, there's no nothing, there's no rakatoku takata, lay hands upon him, there's nothing. Just a simple speech between him and Jesus. Just a simple communication of divine truths, of divine wisdom and revelation. Just communicating. You understand? Do you see how speeches can get us breakthroughs in our life? Just communicating. No rolling off. Nothing. Just two people speaking. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to him, which is a speech as well. Jesus said to him, go your way. Amen. Which is a speech as well. Because he couldn't go back and sit down there. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, he received the sight and followed Jesus on the way. My question to you this afternoon. Everybody here. What are you saying? What are you saying? Amen? And what have you said? You might be here this afternoon. Have you made a speech about where you're going to spend eternity? Have you made a speech regarding your eternal life? A speech about how to live and to be a child of God. That's an important speech. That's an important speech. And if you haven't made it, today's an opportunity to make it. There's no ceremony behind these things. They're just truths. And I'm inviting you today, if you're here this afternoon, and you've not made that speech, just stand to your feet. And I'll tell you what to do. Just stand to your feet. You've never made that speech in your life. Just stand. Is anybody here? You've never made a speech that determines your destination. A speech that determines your eternal life. A speech that brings you into the kingdom of God. A speech that enables you to speak the way I'm talking about. If you haven't, please stand to your feet. Let's help you this morning. You're not a believer. You're not a believer yet. But today you want to make that speech that will enable you. Amen. That will enable you to translate and to transfer from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of heaven. Is anybody here this morning, this afternoon? Because I want to pray for you. Anybody here? You're not a believer. You're not a believer. You're not a believer. But you want to become one today. By the word you speak, I want to help you. I want to help you. Anybody here? Anybody upstairs? I'm inviting you today to come. I know Jesus. To come. To come. To come. Because that is the beginning of your speeches. You will begin to speak as a child of God, where you can speak like this man. Amen. You'll understand protocol. You won't just say, Jesus, if you're there, Jesus, if you're there, I don't know you, but just in case you're there, you will speak with authority. You will speak with audacity. You will speak with faith because you're a child of God. Anybody here? Anybody here? Don't be embarrassed and don't be ashamed. Make that speech today. Jesus is waiting for you. He wants you to speak. Amen. The first language is, I love you, Jesus. That's the speech I'm asking you to make today. Anybody here? Anybody downstairs? Anybody stand downstairs? Hallelujah. Okay. What about all you believers? What are you saying today? What are you saying today? Let me read this, and then we're going to do one or two things before we close. Luke chapter 4. This is the speech of God to your life. And what I'm saying to you today can bring breakthroughs, can bring healing. So you tap into it by faith. Amen. God has given this word to us. And I speak it as a son and a servant of God, knowing that this word can mean so many things in your life this afternoon, in Jesus' name. And this is what the word says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal brokenhearted. If you need to be healed right now of any brokenness, any brokenhearted in your, just receive it right now. It's here. Just take it. Just take it. Just take it. The kingdom of God is here. Just take it. There's things in your life that are causing you pain. Just take it. God brings healing and comfort to you this afternoon. Hallelujah. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. What kind of captivity? Financial, emotional, spiritual? Are you dealing with evils that are trying to pursue your life, troubling your life? Receive that word right now. Jesus is here to set the captives free. Hallelujah. Recovery of sight. Probably there's no vision in your life. There's no vision. There's no direction. God is restoring sight right now. You know exactly who you are and where you're going in life. Because God is recovering. There's a recovery of sight here today. There should be nobody on the sound of my voice that is walking aimlessly. You know exactly what God is saying. Because God has given you vision. It's here now. You can take it. It's just a simple word. Father, give me vision. It's a simple word. There's no drama to it. It's being proclaimed over your life right now. Hallelujah. What else? To set the liberty, those who are oppressed, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. If you're going through any kind of oppression, liberty is here. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Be free right now. Be free, be free, be free, be free, be free, be free, be free. Be free, be free, be free, be free. Come on, people of God. Be free. Whatever it is, be free. Be free, be free. I proclaim freedom right now. I proclaim freedom from any form of oppression, whether it's in your life, in your dream, in your finances, in your home, in your marriage. whatever it is, in your body, physical pain, I say be free right now. That word is being proclaimed right now. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of it. Thank you, Jesus. To proclaim, I declare that this is the year of the Lord's favor. I declare that favor is here right now. Receive it. Receive it. Favor is here. Favor is here. Take it. Take it. Take it. Favor is here. Favor is here. Favor is here. Favor. You'll find favor with God and with man. You'll find favor with God and with man. And the last thing we're going to do, we're going to make a speech. We're going to make a speech. Together, we're going to make a speech. We're going to make it. Can we make a speech together? Can we make a speech? We're going to make a speech based on Psalm 23. Verse 1 and verse 6. We are going to declare whatever it is, whatever you're going through, we're going to make a speech and we're announcing to powers, principalities, we're announcing to them, whether they're in the village, in whatever they are, we're telling them that the Lord is my shepherd. Stop troubling me. Stop troubling me. Let nothing trouble me. Let nothing, because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not lack. Amen. I will not worry about anything. Can everybody just stand to your feet right now? Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Come on, we're going to make a speech. And then I'm going to close. Are we ready to make a speech? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do this twice. Just in case. You're going to make a speech over your life. And you're going to talk to somebody and you're going to make a speech over their own life. Just in case. You're speaking on their behalf. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that today. So the first one is over your life. Everybody after three, the Lord is my shepherd. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Turn to somebody. Turn to somebody. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. That's it. One more. One more. One more speech. One more speech. This speech is based on Psalm 23, verse 6. Say, surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in. Hold on. Now you're going to say it again. This time, you are addressing whatever it is. Come on, people of God. Surely is the connection. Surely is the assurance of everything. Surely is the word that is the word of speech that silenced the enemy. Every enemy will be silenced today in the name of Jesus. Make that speech. Say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day of my life. Amen. Okay. One more speech. You are allowed to speak over somebody right now. Because just like that woman, you little cheeky devil. Somebody was making a speech. So just in case you've not opened your own mouth, you never know. You might be here, you've not even opened your own mouth. Somebody's going to make a speech on your behalf. That's what you're going to say, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. Okay? You're going to speak to them. So turn to somebody right now and tell them, one, two, three. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.